Back in 1948, three student deacons and I drove to New York City to visit Dorothy Day and volunteer to work at her Catholic Worker House of Hospitality on Mott Street. For decades, she devoted her life to taking care of the outcasts of society, feeding, clothing, and housing them. And to test our sincerity, as she did with all volunteers, she had to sleep each night in the Bowery with the people of Skid Row, and during the day we worked in the soup kitchen with her. But the reward came each evening when she would spend some time with all of us volunteers in conversation, and she would reminisce and share her insights with us as to what life was all about. But there was one evening's conversation that I shall never forget. She touched upon a poignant element of life that became the theme of her now famous autobiography entitled The Long Loneliness. And our conversation for that night touches all people at every age, because everyone, young or old, understands what we mean by the long loneliness, especially, ironically enough, at this very season of the year. In fact, we can say that every human life can be defined more or less in terms of a long loneliness. The loneliness of the teenager, from whom so very much is expected, and yet inwardly is so uncertain and simply finds it impossible to share that uncertainty with anyone. The loneliness of the married couple, deeply in love with each other, and yet frustrated at times because their deep desire to communicate with each other at the very core of their being is so difficult, if not impossible. The loneliness that every single one of us knows whenever we experience a hurt and we find ourselves crawling away into that imaginary cave that each of us always has ready nearby. And there we sit, bleeding, wounded, and brooding. The loneliness is always there. It's simply a part of the existence of being human. Loneliness is always right below the surface, imperceptible. It's detected not in the desert, but rather in the stillness of the desert. It's revealed not in the stars, but rather in the immensity of the cosmos. And it's shown not in the ocean, but in the vastness of the sea. It's almost imperceptible, but it's always there. An intrinsic part of our lives as humans. And this morning, on Christmas Day, these hills of West Lynn are filled not only with the sounds of music, but also with the many calls of loneliness. And what does this loneliness mean? To us people of faith, we see this as a specifically human reality, which is a message that the Lord is constantly sending to us. A message that tells us again and again that our lives are inserted into a space that is much larger than any space that we could ever imagine. That our lives are lived out, hour by hour, in this mystery that we call time. The mystery of time that puts us on the very shores of infinity. That our lives are always awaiting a sacred presence. A presence that is more wonderful than anything that we could ever experience. And it is precisely the approach of this sacred presence into human life that we celebrate on Christmas Day. It is this presence of the Spirit of the living God that Scripture speaks about. The grace of God has appeared, offering salvation, healing, liberation to all of us. We know that the solution to the long loneliness is love understood in the gospel way, the correct way. Have we learned what that means? We've sought a solution to the long loneliness in so many ways, and yet salvation, freedom, and healing always seems to elude us, the very tip of our fingers. It eludes us because we don't sometimes understand the kind of love that can resolve the long loneliness. It is not the love that the song speaks about that is as easy as sitting in an easy chair. This love is not sugar and spice, but rather the love that God speaks about always has the tang of vinegar mixed with it. It is the kind of love that is hard and pressing at times, the kind of love that makes demands upon us, the kind of love that gives us the power each day to rescue us from going into that cave, from withdrawing into ourselves, into our inner recesses, and turning our backs on the needs of other people. It is that kind of love that is reflected in the child that is born today in a manger and whose life ends upon the wood of a cross. It is that kind of love that brings a solution to the long loneliness of our lives, the kind of love that takes us out of the cave of our inner selfishness. A long, long time ago, when the world was still very young, there were two brothers. They owned a field and a mill. One brother had a wife and a large family, and the other brother lived alone. And every night, the two brothers would divide evenly the grain that they had milled during the day. But one day, the single brother thought to himself, "It's not fair that the grain should be divided evenly. After all, my brother has a wife and children, and he must feed them." And so every night, the single brother would take some of his grain and quietly slip away and put it in his brother's bin. But then on another night, the married brother thought to himself, "It's not fair that we should divide up the grain evenly. After all, my brother is alone, and someday there'll be no one to take care of him, but I'll have a wife, and my children will grow up, and they'll take care of me." And so he slipped away each night and put some of the grain from his bin into the bin of the single brother. And then one night, on the path, the two brothers met each other. And they recognized what they were doing. The two brothers were so overwhelmed with the thought that there was another human being who could understand what another person was going through, that another human being was able to crawl out of himself and try to see the world through another person's eyes. And so the two brothers, in the still of the night, in the darkness there on the path, threw their arms around each other. They embraced each other. And God, at that moment, the legend says, was looking down upon the earth that night. And God saw their embrace, and God said, "This spot is holy." And this is the place where my temple will be built. And centuries later, that spot called holy became Bethlehem, the house of bread where Jesus was born. Because there at Bethlehem, at the house of bread, God, the living Lord, embraced all of us in the still of the night and became one of us. Bethlehem today is whenever we gather together to break bread, as we do here. The house of bread this morning is here. This is a holy spot, and we are nourished on the bread of the strong. And this morning the Lord embraces us.